Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
I'm checking out the text line. I don't know, we've had a fun, good show, kind of busy, so I haven't paid a lot of attention, but now I'm looking at it here, and there's a crazy amount of you that actually do believe in UFOs.
Wow, I had no idea how many people have been literally abducted by an alien.
Happened to Cartman.
You know, a UFO doesn't mean alien life form. You know that, right?
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Unidentified flying object. That's it.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
Who's flying it?
I don't know. It could be a flying piece of particle that lit on fire somehow. I don't know.
Okay. Are you asking me to... Do I believe in flying pieces of particle that could be, you know, falling off a plane over Brighton?
Yeah.
Okay, I can believe in that.
Well, that was a UFO. Okay. If you looked up in the sky right then and there, that was a UFO.
You think that's what Baker Mayfield was talking about?
I don't know. Was there a plane crash? I hope not.
I hope not either, but do you think that's what he was talking about?
I don't know.
If you want to just talk about pieces of plane or weather balloons or other things, and those are UFOs, you got me, because those things exist. But if you want to talk about what everybody thinks is going on, then you lost me.
Mm.
But not a good chunk of the listeners.
No.
There's plenty of them out there. Palumbus. Wow, just Mount Palumbus speak, just Palumbus. Capital letters, yelling at you. I've been texting this station for weeks about how if Peyton wants to change the culture, why would you draft a guy like Micah Parsons? Guy has nuclear red flags for off-the-field issues. Undisciplined player being drafted by an undisciplined team is a bad combo. John from Jamestown, North Dakota.
Mount Palumbus.
I got to be honest on this one. I'm not really aware of what the red flags are.
Yeah,
so
I'm not sure either.
Put me on the spot on that one for sure.
How about red flags?
I don't know what the red flags are. So I think there's a huge difference in red flags. You know, it character concerns versus a singular mistake. I think that there could be a difference between the two. You know, multiple arrests. Well, you're probably looking at a pattern of behavior. Are we talking about they don't love the game? That's a pretty big red flag to me.
Mm-hmm.
Do their coaches say that they don't show up on time? That type of stuff. There's so many different versions of a red flag. And you know what, to be honest, if there's red flags on Micah Parsons, I'm glad that he brought it up. I am unaware of them. I have Micah Parsons on my board, so I should probably do some more digging on that. I don't know. Does he have major character stuff going on?
I don't know.
There's a lot of guys out there. You got to forgive me if I don't know all the red flags on every single college player.
I don't blame you at all. I don't know them either. It is interesting to ask yourself what matters and what doesn't matter with red flags. And the culture of the team, this is something I think coaches at a lot of different levels, not just professional level, but a lot of different levels struggle with. What is the degree that you were a bad person in the past to what you can add to the team in the future?
Sure. Well, that always goes. There's a line, and that line is not just a straight line. Mm. It goes up and down, and it changes based off of how talented you are.
Correct.
And, you know, the amount of distraction that a football team is willing to put up with is in direct correlation with your talent.
Mm-hmm.
Direct correlation. If Tim Tebow was capable of being a starting quarterback in the NFL, any team would have been okay with the circus that came with Tim Tebow. But as soon as he became obvious that he was a backup quarterback, nobody wanted the circus that came with Tim Tebow.
Yeah, that's a red flag. It's a different type of one. I think most people associate a red flag with like something bad, like
sure,
a bad person or bad behavior. But
well, yeah, I mean, I guess that was
you're right about Tebow. That the amount of attention that he would draw was not worth him being a reserve.
Correct.
I agree.
Yes.
Although I will tell you this, it was interesting. After when in his rookie year, when he really wasn't playing at all.
Texter, what are the red flag issues? Texter that wants me to talk about it. Tell me what the red flags are.
It was interesting in his first year when he just wasn't playing at all, how it did kind of settle down with Tebow, but then it all came up. Antonio Brown, too many red flags?
Yeah. Well, that's a really good example. there were a lot of red flags for a long time, and you're willing to put up with it for a very, very long time because mm-hmm. the talent was so unreal.
Alexander Johnson.
And to the degree that, guess what? Antonio Brown's got a job today.
Yeah. Alexander Johnson, too many red flags? Apparently not.
Richie said he's got the red flags on Michael Parsons. What do you got?
Well, I'm reading here that there was an ESPN report that involved, there's a lawsuit against Penn State by a former teammate of Micah Parsons, Isaiah Humphries, who alleges that he and Parsons got into a serious physical altercation involving punching, choking, and a knife in March of 2018. The lawsuit further alleges that head coach James Franklin told the player not to report the fight to the police, and there was further Title IX investigations into the whole thing.
Okay. Definitely concerned if a knife was involved. Definitely a red flag, a big time red flag. Now, if you were just to tell me that two teammates got in a fight, I'm not going to be overly concerned by that. Happens all the time. All the time.
I think it's fair to say.
You bring a knife to it. Okay, that's different.
It's probably fair to say everybody has to be evaluated case by case. There probably isn't a blanket sort of thing. Although, of course, if there's a serious crime involved, I mean, that's got to give you more pause for sure. Arrests are very tricky. Arrests are very tricky because just because you're arrested doesn't mean you're necessarily guilty. Who knows?
What else? Is there other stuff?
Well, I don't see anything else. It just goes into more detail about the fight and they had to be separated.
Who brought the fight? Or who brought the knife? Does it say?
Yeah, so it says, according to the report obtained by ESPN, Parsons poured water on Humphries, some of which got onto his laptop and phone. So Humphries then turned and poured Gatorade on Parsons, who punched him. According to ESPN, the fight escalated to Parsons choking Humphries, who then pulled out a pocket knife so Parsons would stop. So the knife was in self-defense.
Oh, well, and Parsons wasn't the one that pulled the knife.
Correct. The fight ended after that, according to the report.
Sounds like a really childish fight that escalated very quickly.
Yeah,
wow.
The report definitely sheds worse light on the university and James Franklin than Micah Parsons because it goes into James Franklin telling him not to report the fight because he's a star player and if he gets in trouble, he's gone. And there's a, you know, paying under the table allegations and all that stuff.
I will say there are some red flags that I do not find acceptable. I think when the Broncos decided to sign Pac-Man Jones, that was ridiculous. I thought that was ridiculous. When the 49ers, Jim Harbaugh, decided that it was okay to sign Parrish Cox, I thought that was ridiculous. There are some things, Tyler, you really shouldn't have to think about.
Sure.
But.
No doubt.
You get in a fight with a teammate because you poured water on each other?
Yeah, that sounds pretty childish.
I don't know what to say on that. That being said, I love one of the, and I understand you went down a little bit of a mock draft simulator wormhole
today. I did, yeah.
Okay. But you came up, I don't know how many attempts it took, but I'm dying to find out the details about this particular mock draft you came up with, which I think is perfect. I mean, I think it's literally perfect. Details of that next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
All right, help me out. How did you get into the world of mock draft simulation?
I don't know. I was bored today, so I went down the wormhole. I tried about three different websites. They all had different ways that you go about it. And, you know, there's definitely a specific algorithm for each website, and I had to kind of find the right algorithm that fit my specific needs that I wanted to make the draft that I wanted work. but I found it, and I got it done, and I got my dream draft done. So, you know, it probably took me 5 or 6 tries to get there, but I got there.
All right. Now, you had to give something up.
That's so right.
Before we get into the exact guys, you had to move from 9 to 3, and right. Then we'll get into who you got. What did you give up to do a deal with the Dolphins?
So, yeah, my initial goal, if you look at my big board, is to get Zach Wilson. And I literally wrote on there, move up to number two. I tried to move up to number two in this mock draft. I couldn't get it done. I offered like the world and more. Seriously.
I couldn't get it done.
I couldn't. I offered this year's first, next year's first. I offered this year's second, this year's third, next year's second, next year's third. That didn't get the deal done. Yeah. I was just curious, like, how far do I have to go to get this deal done?
All right.
And so I hit start on the mock draft and it started rolling.
Yeah.
Got to number two and they selected Justin Fields. And I was like, whoa, pause. So if you want to hit a trade, you got to pause the mock draft.
Oh, because
it's all like live. You can see the draft going, right?
All right.
So I saw Justin Fields win at number two, and I'm like, pause. I want number three. Let's go, right? I see the opportunity. So I presented a trade scenario to the Dolphins, and I couldn't believe what I got it for. It was like nothing. I gave up this year's ninth, so I swapped nine to three,
yeah,
right?
Okay.
I gave up pick number 40, okay?
Second rounder.
Right?
Yep.
And then I gave up a first rounder next year.
Okay.
That's it. Done. So basically, I gave up a first rounder and a second rounder. And I swapped this year's. That's it. And I got myself Zach Wilson.
To get to three.
Yep. And so I selected Zach Wilson right away. Boom.
All right, hold on. I want to get to the rest of them. Do you think if the Dolphins were sold on Tua? That would get it done. 3-9, 40 this year, first next.
I don't. That feels a little bit light to me, to be honest with you. If you look at the – so then I actually went over to the trade value chart to see if that would have gotten it done in real life.
Okay.
And yes, it was more points than what it was worth.
Okay.
But, you know, when you're talking about a top three selection, well how much more do you really need? And I think it needs more than this. I think in all reality – because I only gave up one first rounder. All I did was swap the first this year, right? I gave him our number nine. That's not giving up anything.
But on the points chart, it was enough, huh?
It was on the points chart, but you know that doesn't qualify a top five pick on the points chart.
Okay.
And we all know that is significantly higher.
All right. Interesting, you got it done though. That's cool.
So you
pick Zach Wilson. Keep going.
Got Zach Wilson. So then I don't get my second rounder. I had to go to the third round. So I just start drafting for what I think we need at this point, right?
Yeah.
So I took the best available corner that was on the board, got Elijah Molden out of Washington.
Okay.
Then we go to fourth round. I'm like, all right, well, what do I need now? Now I need a tackle. I need somebody that is capable of starting in case Juwan James gets hurt. So I selected the best available tackle on the board.
I'm not
going to sit here and tell you I know a lot about these guys that I drafted.
No, that's fine.
I'm just drafting for need at this point, which was Brady Christensen out of BYU.
Okay.
So I got some teammates.
Do you know how old, and I'm not trying to any judgments here, but it's BYU. Do you know how old Brady Christensen even is?
No, I don't know anything about Brady Christensen.
All right, I'm gonna look that up real quick. Is he a right tackle? Ooh, he's a big guy. 6'6".
6'6".
Okay.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let's see if I can get some he's a redshirt junior, 6'6", 300 pounds. Kevin, maybe you can help me look up his birth date. Just curious. Okay, good. So you got a right tackle. Big dude.
Yeah.
And this is who I'm most excited about.
Okay, so now I get to my most recent hot take, which is that we need to select a running back relatively high in the draft this year because I think that Philip Lindsay's gone, and I think there's actually a chance that Melvin Gordon might be gone as well. But regardless, you got to find a complementary role for Melvin Gordon. So I did select a running back. This one, I actually put a little bit of research into it, not a ton, but I specifically was trying to find a speedster and a pass catching running back that could be kind of the thunder and lightning approach with Melvin Gordon. And I selected Chuba Hubbard out of Oklahoma State. Worth it for the name right alone.
Yeah, he's awesome.
So now we got Chuba and we got Chuba.
So in this mock, Chuba Hubbard, that is a great name, was available at 153.
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you want to just talk about the rest of your guys?
Oh, I keep going. I selected another corner. I selected a defensive tackle. Then in the seventh rounder, I took another flyer on a running back.
Okay. I love your draft.
I do, too. I think it turned out really, really good.
If the draft is, you don't give up the house. I mean, it's tough giving up the second round this year and a first next year. But if you can get away with that, you get Zach Wilson. You take a starting hopeful corner, you hope, right? Third round, we'll see.
Right.
I mean, That's what Ojemudia was, so, I mean, you know, that's possible.
Well, I selected a corner as soon as I possibly could.
I understand. You get a guy who's going to add depth as an offensive lineman,
mm-hmm.
and you never know. And then you get a quality running back? Dude!
Yeah, love it.
Sign me up!
Love it. Let's go get Zach Wilson at number three. Now, a few problems with this. Number one, I don't think that you could actually get the third overall selection for what I just presented in this actual trade. Number two, I don't think that Zach Wilson will be there at number three. So if you wanted to move up to select a quarterback at number three, it's probably going to be for Justin Fields or whomever else you value as the third best quarterback in the draft.
Yeah. You know what's interesting about Christensen? I'm just looking him up. I can't find his age. However, usually it kind of pops up right away.
Have you been following the Albert Pujols stuff?
No, what's up with Albert Pujols?
So apparently it's like a well-known fact inside Major League Baseball circles that he has absolutely lied about his age for like his entire career.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, this is all breaking in the last few days.
How old is Albert Pujols?
Well, you don't really know, but he exposed. So apparently ton of Dominican fraud that was going on with birth certificates and everything else.
Happens all the time, actually. You know what happens is you're available to be drafted at age 16, so usually guys are actually older and they pretend to be younger.
Right. But he said something about somebody he was playing when he was 13, and then everybody did the math, and it added up that he should have been like 4 years older than what he's telling people.
It happens all the time. That does happen, and their records are poor. And they just kind of like whatever because, you know, you just kind of lie about your age. And then when you come out at 16, all of a sudden, wow, that's incredible.
Guess what? He's still good no matter how old he was.
That's right. But that means if he's 38, he's really 42.
Right. You think you're signing a 38-year-old.
I mean, it's all right. Yeah. When you're like 19 to 16, I mean, who cares? Kind of, you know, the deeper you go. Oh, actually, it's probably even more remarkable for Albert Pujols. By the way, you're seeing that he's 22 years old, this Christensen guy. He did his redshirted his true freshman season after returning from his mission. That's all right. 22. That's not too old. It is just a little bit of a red flag with offensive linemen that we've had in the past who are actually really old. Like who is that guy? I know he's married. Who cares if he's married? Kevin seems to be obsessed with him being married. I don't care if he's married. I care about how old he is. Was that a red flag for you there, Chicken Fingers, that he's married?
No, I just thought that'd be a fun fact. For
guys him. Get married.
Not at 22.
I got married at 23.
That's different.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that's different.
Philip Blake. Philip Blake. How old when Philip Blake came to the Broncos as a rookie was? He was like 26. Seriously, there was something like that.
Garrett Bowles was old when we drafted him.
Right. I think Sylvester Williams was out of football for a little bit. My point is that sometimes when these older guys are playing college football, they dominate, and it's a little bit of a, like, what's going on here.
Right.
But 22's fine. That's all right. Dude, great draft. Awesome draft. Wow, that would put two BYU teammates on the same
team.
That's
right.
All right. Go Cougars. Top 6 at 6 is next.